It's good to be in the house of God again, amen. Okay, so just a few words of encouragement this evening. Something I was just reading and reflecting on. Let us go to Genesis. So don't stop praying for Chongwe, because the next steps to be taken, we are just waiting on the Lord and trusting. Amen. So, like Brother Mons has mentioned, phone calls are still coming, people desiring prayer, people want to know what's the prayer program, where are we supposed to meet. So, yeah, but we trust we will have a meeting place. Amen. Yeah. Let us go to Genesis chapter 20. Genesis chapter 20. This is the story of this great patriarch of faith, Abraham. And it's a very simple little thought, and I hope by looking through it, you can see yourself in it, because we believe we are Abraham's children. Amen. But we want to ask ourselves if we have his character. Now, remember, this is a man whom God had given the promise that he'll be given this expanse of land, okay? What we call the land of Canaan. He is the man who first received that promise. Now let us read Genesis 20. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. We may be seated. Now, if Brother Teddy, I always want to have at least a marker here. Do you have one there? Any marker? Okay. Well, I'll ask you to imagine. Now, when you look at Gerar, this falls within, if you have, well, the land of Israel, let's say this is the border. Here you have the Mediterranean Sea, and you have Israel somewhere here. Okay, this land of Canaan. So, near the sea coast here, that is where you have the regions of the Philistines. And as you go eastward, in the southward direction, you have what is known as the Negev Desert, somewhere there. And this place where we are told Abraham spent his time is somewhere between here and there. And it's really a region which is populated by these people who've come to be known as the Philistines. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, "She is my sister." And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. Now, you know the story, but that's not our focus. But let us fast forward and skip all these verses. Let us come to a point where Abimelech, the king, tells Abraham, you can choose which portion of land you may like to take. And obviously, Abraham has found favor in the eyes of this king. And this is what we read in verse 15. Well, let us read verse 14. Well, won't be a bad idea starting from verse 13. And it came to pass when God caused me to wander from my father's house that I said unto her, this is thy kindness which thou shalt show unto me at every place whither we shall come. Say of me, he is my brother. Okay, all right. So he's still talking about the audio he found himself in. I think the one I want starts from verse 14. And Abimelech took sheep and oxen and men servants and women servants and gave them unto Abraham and restored him Sarah, his wife. So I think we can say there's a good relation between them which is building, right? And in verse 15, and Abimelech said, behold, my land is before thee. Dwell where it pleaseth thee. Now, why is Abimelech doing these things? He has seen that this man is a prophet. Okay, because of what happened. He has seen that this is not just an ordinary person. God had warned this king. And now he gives Abraham all these things, you know. The animals, even some people who could work for Abraham. What a blessing. You go into a place, first you entered that place with fear, and then it turns out you've made an agreement, not just with an ordinary person, but with the king of the land. Okay, so that brings Abraham into a certain recognition and a certain privileged position. And unto Sarah he said, behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. I mean, by this time he knows this is his wife. I don't know why he still uses thy brother. 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes unto all that are with thee and with all other. Thus she was reproved. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife. Well, some sort of sickness, pestilence had broken out among them because Sarah had been taken. And well, the man did it ignorantly. But that also tells us something. How we need to revere God's word. It's not just about I didn't know. Right? Are you getting the point? There's this terrible thing which breaks out among them. Because something hasn't been done right. And this wasn't about we knew or we didn't know. And so Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. For the Lord had first closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. That is quite a blessing which was on Abraham, an anointing. And the places he would move, that presence did not leave him. And it either brings a curse or a blessing, depending on how people treated him. And what I want us to observe is, it was always God fighting battles for Abraham. And he really indeed was a friend of God. Being a friend of God, the presence of God, the favor of God, the grace of God was upon him. And we don't see Abraham fighting his battles carnally, but he waited on God. Now, observe what happens after some time as Abraham has a place which he is given, and something began to happen between the people of that land and how some tried to treat Abraham. Now remember, whatever is happening, it may look like it's Abimelech giving a privilege to Abraham to say, choose which land you may wish. But really, the hand behind it is the hand of God. Now, if God is leading you spiritually, you need to depend on the Spirit. You can't start in the Spirit and then you try to fight things in the flesh. Let's observe. As you get into 22, into 21. Let us go to verse 22, chapter 21 and verse 22. And it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Pichol, the chief captain of his host, spake unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest. Why did the king speak these words to Abraham? Let's all read those words together. And it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Pichol, the chief captain of his host, spake unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest. So these people obviously could see the favorable hand of God upon Abraham, right? They had been living with him. They observed what was going on around him, how he was prospering. It seemed there was this invisible hand of favor, protection, and prosperity upon him. And well, this man is the king of this land. But what he observes in the life of Abraham begins to affect him. He begins to be afraid of this man, Abraham. He can see the people Abraham has. They're flourishing. They're increasing in number. Their animals have a certain kind of a health, which is somewhat different from what is happening to the people around them. If they plant crops, there's something about it which is different with the other people. There is this other favor they're seeing upon this man. And it compels them at this point to meet Abraham. And they confess to him to say, God is blessing you in whatever you do. And Abraham is there trying to listen to what is this about. And observe in verse 23. Now therefore, swear unto me here by God that thou wilt not deal falsely with me, nor with my son, nor with my son's son, but according to the kindness that I have done unto thee, thou shalt do unto me and to the land wherein thou hast sojourned. This is a speech of a man who is feeling threatened, right? Are you able to see that? Say, Abraham, I can see the hand of God upon your life. Please swear to me. You won't deal falsely with me, whether me or maybe the time I die and it's my son who is on the throne. Please, can you swear to me that you won't do a bad thing to me? Someone who is more powerful cannot speak to someone who is so less powerful in such a manner. You can only speak in that manner when you perceive greatness in the person you are talking to and you feel, I can at one point be in a disadvantaged position and this may not work well, not just with me, but with my family, my son or my son's son. And that is why he is talking to Abraham in this manner. I hope you are able to see what kind of a status God was raising Abraham to, right? And verse 24, and Abraham said, I will swear. And Abraham, now this is where I want to draw your attention to. Abraham was a very honest, sincere man. He didn't take the blessing God was giving him to start abusing it on people or to try to show these surrounding people that he could react, especially that he was in alliance with the king. Because you see, you can make an agreement with the king, but the nearby communities may have a certain jealousy against you, right? Because it's not all the time that the king visits your house anyway. So you can see certain misbehavior from people who are close to you. Notice what things started happening. Some period of time happened, and there are certain things as Abraham is staying in this place which some of these people of Gerar started doing to him. But what I want us to observe is how he was such a patient person. He never reacted. He never even brought those issues to the attention of the king to say, look at how your people are treating me. Abraham did not do that. Verse 25, and Abraham reproved Abimelech because of a well of water which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. So you need to see that although there was this agreement between Abraham and Abimelech, there are certain things, events which happened, which were very unfortunate and they were very unfair to Abraham. These, the people of Abimelech, the people of Gerar, one time they visited Abraham's quarters and they violently grabbed a well which should have belonged to the territory of Abraham. For him to have mentioned violence, it means they just came, maybe marked it out and said, not tikakone, say, tikakone nikuyuzing achane. People will always be abusive, I mean, when God is not in their life, isn't it? They feel you're just a foreigner here, right? But here it came time when Abimelech spoke these words, he says, well, but king, I have an issue with you. And he brings it out. And Abimelech reproved Abimelech because, and Abraham, sorry, reproved Abimelech because of a well of water, which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. And Abimelech said, listen to the response of Abimelech in verse 26. I wot not who hath done this thing, neither didst thou tell me, neither yet heard I of it but today. Did you hear what he says? He says, but Abraham, I've never heard about that story. I don't even know who did such a thing. And you didn't even tell me about it. When I read this, my attention is not focused on the violent taking away of the well. My attention is not on what they are talking about right now. What draws my attention is how Abraham was quiet about something so unfair, and yet he was in a privileged position. He could have easily reported it to the king. Don't you think so? But he says, you never brought it to my attention. And so, you know, Abimelech wasn't happy with what had happened. He says, you know what? This is when I'm hearing of this today. Now, that opens a window that should make us get interested in looking at the character of Abraham. I think it is something admirable, something that tells us what a man who waits on the Lord, what is in his character. It's not about fighting for your rights. I believe Abraham knew there will be a time which will be suitable for us to address this issue. Amen. And here came the time when Abraham reproved Abimelech to say, yeah, you know, I swear I want to do this and that, but I want to bring to your attention what your servants did. They violently took away the well. And in speaking, Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them unto Abimelech, and both of them made a covenant. Remember, we are coming from where it was Abimelech who gave oxen to Abraham, right? And here now they're making a covenant, and it's the other way around. Abraham wants something to show that this is a transaction happening. It's not just words we are speaking. And Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them unto Abimelech, and both of them made a covenant. And Abraham set seven ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what mean these seven ewe lambs which thou hast set by themselves? And he said, for these seven ewe lambs shalt thou take of my hand, that they may be a witness unto me that I have digged this well. This is going to be a sign of a transaction that this belongs to me. Wherefore he called that place Beersheba, because there they swear, both of them. Now, you know where the name Beersheba comes from. So if you look at our invisible map here, Beersheba is somewhere here. Jerusalem is somewhere here. Bethlehem is somewhere there. Beersheba is here. So all these things which are happening, That is how that place got its name. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. Then Abimelech rose up and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, and they returned into the land of the Philistines. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called thereon the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in the Philistines' land many days. That's a man who is able to wait on the promise of God with patience. God tells you, I've given you this whole land and all that. And while you're still dwelling in this land of the Philistines. Amen. So what, in these few minutes, what do we see in the character of Abraham? I see a man who was very patient. I see a man who was very godly. And despite the abuses those people were doing, he knew the right time would come when I would address this issue. I see a man who in his heart he had the promises of God, but he had the life of a gentleman enough to know how to relate even with people who are unbelievers. He related with them respectfully and in a very honest way. Amen. So, well, it's a very short sermon. I guess we are tired coming from the crusade, but I hope we can have something to reflect on that. Amen. Well, we can stand and just... thank the Lord. I don't know if there are any with a prayer request. Friday, I want to go back to Chongwe and just keep up with the brothers at the missions house, and we do some visitations together with them. So Friday through Saturday. That will help us familiarize ourselves with the environment. It makes a difference getting in people's homes, the people we're praying for on the prayer line, just getting to know them. Amen. Yeah, so if you wish to be part of that, we can always go together and continue doing the evangelism. Amen. Okay, so if there's no prayer requests, we shall close in a word of prayer. If you have offering, we're going to use this time to pray for the offering as well. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for this wonderful time and opportunity that you've given us to come together. We're also thankful for the testimonies which continue coming through from Chongwe. May you bless our precious brothers whom we left there, and we desire to join them Friday again. Yes, Lord, and we commit this mission into your hands, trusting and believing that you shall make a way for us where there seems to be no way, and we are so thankful, Lord. May you bless the offering, Lord, that is to be given. Bless every hand that gives, and as we go back to our homes, overshadow us, Lord, that we may dwell under your light, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, may God bless us.